Blog Talk Radio.
Sugar. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Morning Cereal. Hey, hey, it's me, Dan Grimshay, always here. Also always here, right across from me, Marky. Sound off, Marky.
I am here.
Also joining us, we're doing a one of those kick-ass crossover episodes.
A primetime crossover.
Our friends at the podcast, 66. Mm-hmm. We got Ryan and Daniel. Let me hear from you guys.
We practice this, Dan. You go first.
Okay. All right.
Do I go first or do you go first?
Or wait, is it 1, 2, 3, you go, or 1, 2, 3, on three? Ryan, are we doing 1, 2, 3 or on three?
Let's do 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Hey, guys. Welcome.
Oh, somebody didn't get the memo.
Oh, sorry. We do a four count here anyway. Thank you, Ryan, for knowing that.
1, 2, 3, 4. Go. That was my James Brown count in, sorry.
That was good.
It was damn good. It got really me good. Moving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Get up off of that flow.
I am a drummer, so this comes with the territory.
Well, so guys, okay. We're here.
Man of many talents. And we are here, gathered together, talking about Star Wars Celebration. It's that season again. Mm-hmm. It's coming up, as you hear this, I think right now.
Yeah, we're coming at you. We are previewing Star Wars Celebration the eve of Star Wars Celebration. So
yep.
Right now, when you guys are hearing this, the rest of us are probably getting in line to try to get into the first panel, right?
Mm.
Ryan?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And we are not asleep, are okay. We, Ryan?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm asleep right now. I don't know. It's like I'm in a pilot.
Well, Ryan, you're a special case. First of all, I know you mentioned your work week is finally winding down to the point you got 2 more days running on fumes, and then you get to go to your first ever celebration.
Yeah, it's like I'm earning it, right? It's like extra. Whenever you're going on vacation, you got to put in the extra hours because you're about to go on vacation. And then once we hit Sunday, middle of the night, I'm doing an 8-hour drive from Tennessee down to Orlando. So, I mean, I'm raring to go, but it's like that stage of like it's like December 22nd. It's so close to Christmas, but still got to wait. So that's kind of where I'm at right now.
I actually I can remember when we would go fishing and. It was like the night before, and you helped your dad load the truck, and
yep.
You're just all excited, and you're just up all night, and you still have to get up like at 3 a.m. to go.
Yeah,
it's just that excitement, and you're just about to go. Now, as far as this particular celebration goes, I am busy. I don't have the time. I am broke. I don't have the money.
Oh, is that why you're not going?
I am totally going. I cannot wait to be there. And, Ryan, I know you don't know what to expect here, but just put yourself in a world where even in every line you're waiting in, you're going to turn around and you can have that discussion, and people are going to be on your level, that Star Wars discussion, and it can be deep. It can be goofy. It can be all those things. But just being in the inevitable line that you're going to be in, you get to talk to all these people that love this thing around as much as you do. That's what you can expect.
Yeah, that's never happened to me before because I live in Tennessee, which no offense, but I mean, I'm not in a culturally rich area. So I'll be like, what do you guys think of that Rogue One trailer? I don't know. Did you see that touchdown pass? And I'm like, oh, yeah.
This is coming from the guy who comes from the home of rock and roll. But, okay. All right.
Well, now that is not – the next time they do Celebration in Tennessee, pretty sure he'll be the first one there.
In Chattanooga.
In Chattanooga, rock and roll ended with Elvis Presley. Let's be honest.
Okay. That's fine. That's fine. But, no, man, this is I've been to two others, okay? I was at the one in L.A. I don't even know what number that was.
Right.
And then,
I think they stopped numbering them at that point, didn't they?
Yeah, probably. I don't know. But it was like in, I don't know, 2012? I don't even know.
No, it was. I think it was four, Celebration, not to be a nerd here, but I think it was Celebration 4 in L.A., then 5 and 6 were in Orlando, and then Anaheim was technically 7, but they stopped numbering in Anaheim.
Okay.
That was it.
Okay.
And then non-official 8 was in London.
Yeah.
And now
it's 9.
Okay.
There we go.
Everybody
we're
got that?
Caught up. Everybody's caught up. Everybody's caught up. And so, but
I didn't know.
They are, you know, this is, and, you know, we're in the town of San Diego Comic-Con, which is the biggest pop culture convention in the world, and I get to go to it every year for the last 15 years or whatever, and it's amazing, and I have so much fun, but it's not, I have more fun at Star Wars Celebration because are my people, you know, like more than anything. And you really do get to have those conversations. And if you're lucky, you get to hold court once in a while.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean by that, Ryan?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. It's weird that, like I said, that's almost the weirdest part to me is that I host a Star Wars podcast every single week, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not a single person that I know in, like, my personal life that I see on a weekly basis knows that I do this show outside my wife, because if I told them, they wouldn't care, right?
I'm tempted to drag this conversation away from Star Wars, because that's fascinating to me.
Really?
All my coworkers, friends, family, like, they'd be like, you know, big whoop, you host a Star Wars. What? Like, what do you mean you talk about Star Wars that much? Like, who cares, man? Like, and so now I'm going to a place, like you're saying, it's literally thousands of people. Everywhere you turn, everywhere you look, is the person that was willing to spend a lot of money to hear people talk about Star Wars and walk on a stage and wave and like it, and they're paying hundreds of dollars just to get them to sign a poster. Like it's gonna be, that's probably the most exciting / weird part for me. I'm gonna feel like I'm in the Twilight Zone. I'm going to, because I'm like, who are all these people? What do you mean you like Star Wars as much as I do? Because like Daniel, he lives in Orlando. There's Disney parks. It's Star Wars everywhere. Like if he wants to feel Star Wars fans, he can go to a Star Wars event. Me? No, I have my imaginary friends, and that's about it. So
that is kind of the saddest thing I've heard in I don't know how long, Ryan. For real. Well, especially, yeah, now you stack it up next to Daniel here, who lives in Orlando, who's been to Celebration. And
jerk.
All right, let's hear it, Daniel. Because now we're swinging way to the other end of the spectrum. I have a feeling Marky has done about 4 minutes of research on what to expect this year. So let's lean heavy on Daniel's expertise to tell us about what's coming up here.
Let me hold court. Let's do it.
There we go.
Specifically what?
Like,
what is it?
What are you looking forward to? What words of advice can you give to Ryan? You know, just go at it, man. Like, preach.
Okay, so... it's funny. I was just telling someone this morning, you go and you're going to plan on a lot because you look at the schedule and you go, holy crap, I want to see everything. I want to do everything, especially this, this, and this. Well, first off, you're not going to do half of that. And three of the things that you can't miss, you're going to miss one of them. It's just going to happen. Amen. But what's going to happen is you're going to run into someone or something even cooler, or maybe not as cool, but more memorable.
Yeah.
And you're going to make new friends. You're going to see old friends. Do I know that? I think I know that guy. Or are you at Sunshine Flower Jedi on Twitter? Yes, I am. Oh, my gosh. I just favorited your tweet last week. Oh, now we're best friends. So that's what happens at these events. That's just so cool. And I've made so many friends over the years at both Star Wars Celebration and Star Wars Weekends. And that's what you take away. I mean, seeing George Lucas come out on stage as a surprise appearance and – you know, watching Ian McDiarmid, like, force choke James Arnold Taylor on stage. All that stuff's great and memorable as well. But the stuff you take with you is, hey, I got to hang out with Dan and Marky. I got to hang out with,
your
these guys
buddies.
And that girl.
Yeah,
yeah.
Line buddies, yep. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's really just this, like, feeling where finally somebody cares that you know so much about this thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just because Ryan totally hits it. Like, nobody cares about Star Wars as much as you do, you know?
Yeah.
And then finally you're in this place where they do. And some of them even may know more than you. And if you don't need to be the only guy, the only genius in the room.
Yeah, I think Ryan is bringing one.
Yeah, probably right. And so you really do just pick up on a lot. And it's just being in line waiting to me is one of the funnest parts of it.
And that is the only way you can stay sane at a convention is to have that mindset.
Yep.
So I'm glad you know to impart that to others.
Well, you've been to one before, Shay. I mean, what were your thoughts?
I don't know. I still haven't gotten in.
Come on. You were there. Whatever.
No, it is fun. No, you're right. That's what we talk about here on the show all the time. Yeah. It's that sense of community that you get out of the convention scene, and which is great, which is what makes it possible for us to talk to Daniel and Ryan, who I feel like we haven't heard from in a while. So shut up, Mark.
Yeah, I'll try.
No. Hey, it's your
really
guys' show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I will hijack every Star Wars conversation.
That's true. I'm going to take ownership here, and we're going to shift gears a little bit because there's only so much we can say about the Star Trek future coming up at Celebration.
You said Star Trek.
Well, there's even less we can say about that.
Did you hear what he just said? Wow.
We might actually have to do some editing on this show.
Look, I've never been to one of these before, but if that's what they're talking about at the convention, I may need my money back.
You're out. That is a Freudian slip, boy.
And we've covered that in multiple episodes. We're not digging it up here.
He is beat red right now, boys. I'm telling you right now. It's so funny.
It's fine. Yeah. It's not a dirty word. Trek is fine. Trek.
I know. I'm totally
Actually, when you say it that fast, that often, it does sound a little dirty. But I'm not saying stop. Go on.
Yeah, go on.
But no. Let's. I want to reach back to Star Trek past because we
said it again.
We have, and I'm going to keep saying it.
Okay, you want to reach the Star Trek past?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, go on.
No, I want to talk about because we've already brought it up in the show. I think in soon to be aired or recently aired episode.
We were talking to Bradley Weatherholt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we mentioned that you guys had seen, you know, you really enjoyed the prequels.
Yeah. He's been on our show before.
Yep.
Yeah. Great guy. And we actually finally got to see the finished documentary. Really enjoyed it, actually.
Uh-huh.
But we eventually got talking. I forget about exactly what, but it came up that when you guys saw Force Awakens, your initial reaction was a little vitriolic.
Yep.
Yeah. Not Ryan's. Ryan's was very well. Go ahead.
Mine was like when I left the theater, I was like, okay, you know, that was great, but it wasn't like a George Lucas movie to me. And I told myself as soon as I walked out of that theater that if I go into every Star Wars movie moving forward looking for a George Lucas movie, I'm going to leave kind of mad. So this is a great movie. And the more we've talked about it, the more I've really loved the movie and I love the new character. And I'm super I'm super thrilled for episode 8. Like, I love all of the new content. And so it was sort of like my moment was like, you know, I was watching the whole time and I didn't really understand. Like, it was really good, but I was like, what did I just watch for 2.5 hours? And then I kind of walked out of the theater and was like, okay, that's what this is. This isn't George Lucas' Star Wars anymore. So I'm not going to go in expecting it, or I'm going to leave every time and be like, man, you know, they ruined it, dog. So, you know, I'm just like,
but it was an initial shock.
Yeah.
I was initially shocked for sure. But, you know, I've come to sort of judge everything Star Wars, not as a whole unit individually. Like, I don't judge this episode of Rebels necessarily. I do, but I've come to kind of look at all the movies and all the episodes of these shows and just take moments from each one. Like the battle, the final battle duel between Kylo Ren and Rey in the snow is like just as emotional for me as like Vader dying in Luke's arms. Like the music and what it really means and how it hit me and how I view it, it's all one story. And it's you know, I've come to kind of like, you know what, I'm not going to judge this. Like, Attack of the Clones is my least favorite, but there are moments in that film that really hit me hard. Like when Anakin's holding his mother and I'm like, like my heart, you know? Yeah. So I'm just like, I judge those moments because John Williams is scoring it and it's just amazing. So yeah, I love The Force Awakens. It's my favorite movie of all time.
Well, I'm really glad to hear you say that. And I've been listening to your podcast, especially more recently. The whole reason why this whole thing even came up is because we were talking to Bradley, who did a whole movie on basically defending the prequels. That's basically what the movie is, which is what you guys do like all the time, and which I do also. I mean, I'm a big defender.
Compulsively.
Even when people aren't even bringing it up, I'm going to say, you know, the prequels are good, and I don't care what you say.
Dinner conversation gets a little slow.
Even if we're just watching
Iron
Man.
Right to the prequels with it.
Yeah. But the whole reason why that this even came up is because I think it was Bradley who had said that there's going to be a generation of kids who are now adults that are going to watch The Force Awakens, and they're not going to like it because they're not as good as the prequels. And I said, well, you know what? Our friends at Podcast 66 are those, you know, that's the generation. Yep. They're already here. And
well,
I just,
half of us, I'm 24. Daniel's like 50. So, all right. Yeah,
but
no, you're 35, right?
35. Yeah.
Yeah. But,
Daniel's
but you know, I think that is valid because it actually brings up my whole argument of to why you may like the original trilogy and not the prequel trilogy is because you watched the original trilogy when you were young, and your tastes change when the style of film doesn't necessarily change. They're the same styles. But we're not going to get into that here.
Yeah,
but,
I was
going to
say,
I mean, I
can counter that just by saying got almost the exact same feeling watching Force Awakens, whereas I got a different feeling from the prequels.
I don't think The Force Awakens was going, which is why, you know, Daniel and Ryan were so...
I'm not saying it wasn't by design.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, Daniel and Ryan were expecting the same style of film, and they didn't get it, because The Force Awakens is a little bit more mature, right?
Or less mature, in my opinion.
No, here's my problem with it. I may be 24, but a lot of people tell me, you know, I'm much more of an older, you know, older mindset. Like I said, you know, I don't like talking to people my own age. Like it annoys me. So, the way I looked at it was like, I saw the prequels when I was 6, 9, and 12. That's when I saw those age. So, you know, why the 34-year-old that's watching The Phantom Menace in 99 is like, oh, God, what is this Jar Jar? The 6-year-old, two seats down from him, is cracking up like, this is the greatest thing ever. So there's an emotional attachment I have to those films. But then as I started to get older and started to read about George Lucas, like, I love the original trilogy just as much. Like, I'm not a anything fan. I'm a Star Wars fan. So pretty much you can throw anything Star Wars in front of me, and I'm going to love it all the same. I think it's going to be, like I said, there's things that you don't like about it, but, I mean, we can spend all day talking about things we don't like. You know, that's not fun to me. But what I liked about George Lucas was that every movie he did, it was an innovation, right? He wanted to say, what's the technology? And they say, it's this. He says, well, I'm going to push it farther. And that's what George Lucas did. And we get to Episode 7, and it's like, they were like, well, you know what? We're going to take you back. We're going to show you things you've already seen before. And it's not, I'm not one that prescribes to it's a carbon copy of A New Hope, but it was like, it was so shackled to nostalgia that George was all about innovating and the newest technologies, and he wanted to kind of push storytelling, when this was just like, hey, guys, let's go to trip down memory lane and let's, you know, here we go. Like, and I was looking for more. I was looking for, like, that's nice. Yeah, they're back. You know, hey, look, he said Moof Milker, like Nerf Herder. How funny is that? But it's like, I wanted more. I wanted, it felt like the story was hollow to me. Like, it just felt like it was a love letter to the original trilogy fans. And it's fine. It said it's okay. That's fine. But, like, I'm excited for Episode 8 because I think Rian Johnson is an innovator. He wants to try different things and new things, and that's what I want to look for in Star Wars, just as much as I want to see a good story.
I think you're absolutely right about Rian Johnson, first of all, and I am excited to see that because I think he can make a lot out of working with a little. And if you give him this much, I honestly can't wait to see it. But I'll also say you're also right that I'll just come out and say it. My favorite part, walking out of the theater after Force Awakens, I was like, yeah, I got to see Han and Chewie flying the Millennium Falcon again. And I realized that's exactly what I was missing from the prequels.
Yeah.
And I said, no, it maybe makes me seem a little bit like a simpleton or someone who is just desperately trying to get back. But that's That's what I got. That was the high that I got from Force One. I almost feel like I should apologize for it, especially after watching, you know, the prequel Strike Back. But I'm not going to.
So, I think there. Ryan has a really good point, and you back that up. But I would disagree with him that for me the story actually is what connected me to it. You know, I appreciate both approaches. I appreciate innovating for the sake of innovation, like George would, and I also appreciate just letting the story do the talking. And I thought Force Awakens was a great soft lob. It was a softball, what we call it, a softball pitch for Rian Johnson to just knock it clean over, you know, the remnants of Alderaan. He's gonna,
I
just
agree
like,
with you there.
I think he
is poised to do something. Like
we'll
that.
All look back at JJ and go, dude, nice pitch. Nice
setup,
lob.
Brother. Yeah, I could see that too. I mean, there is that, you know, when I first saw it, and, you know, talk about the whole nostalgia thing, and, you know, when Rey and they're trying to run away from those TIE fighters, and she's like, no, that one's garbage. Like, I didn't at that moment say, I didn't think to myself at that moment, she's talking about the Millennium Falcon. It didn't cross my mind because I'm so into, because it was so well done, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm so into the moment, and the TIE fighters are at them, and they're running, and then she goes, garbage will do, and she turns around, and it's the Millennium Falcon with, and it's got the frickin' the tarp is kind of flying off of it, and it kind of looks like a superhero cape, you know, and it's and you're just like, yes, the theater, like, you know,
and if that's a power of nostalgia,
fine,
I
love
for it,
yeah, and
that's a good
okay, Mark, yep. I got a Marky,
yep, I'm here,
I've got something for you, you're gonna be there all 4 days of celebration,
yep, that's me.
Okay, one thing I think you should definitely do is go see The Force Awakens at Celebration with all those people. Because I'll say this. At Celebration 6 here in Orlando back in 2012, we sat and watched The Empire Strikes Back, and I've seen it 800 times or something stupid. I don't know. I can't even count how many times I've seen it. But it was like seeing it for the first time because – when the special editions came out, there were Star Wars fans in Orlando that saw it, and all my friends came along and family. But this was like you said, everybody in the room is like foaming at the mouth. And we all got together and watched it and laughed and cheered and cried, and it was amazing. So, like, watching those movies, even though you've seen them 12 times, 13 times, 300 times, you know, they're going to screen all of them. I think they're doing Empire, Jedi, and Force Awakens back to back.
Yeah, I think so.
So Force Awakens will probably be from like 10 to midnight on Thursday night.
Are they showing Rogue One too?
They're actually doing Rogue One and A New Hope back to back on Friday night.
Ooh, that's a good trick.
Yeah, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So that's from 7:30 to midnight on Friday night. That's going to be a blast. And you know everyone's going to be in the room. I'm actually planning on doing that, at least for Rogue One. Because I haven't seen it since it came out on Blu-ray. I picked it up, but now I've decided I'm going to save it because the last time I saw it was in the theater, and I'm going to wait and watch it at Celebration with all these people.
You know, it came in the mail a couple days ago for me, and I have not watched it either. I think I'm kind of waiting to. At the Celebration in Anaheim a couple years ago, it was the first time that they had all three of the prequels in 3D.
Right.
I don't think that you've had the chance to see that, right?
I saw Phantom Menace when they came out in theater, and
I
was
saw that.
That was amazing. I sat right in front of a family of four, a dad, a mom, and two boys, and the boys were like 4 and 6, and it helped me, again, just like watching those movies at Celebration. All of a sudden, I saw the Phantom Menace through even newer eyes, and I always loved that movie, but now it was like 15 years later, and the kids behind me are dying laughing at Jar Jar Binks. And when Darth Maul came on, you would have thought it was like Jesus coming back. It was like, oh, my God, that is so cool. And I caught up with him afterwards, and I caught the dad. I was like, was this their first time? He's like, yes. And I was like, dude, that is awesome. And I was like,
man,
you just saved my life. Because I got to watch The Phantom Menace with the target audience 15 years after its release, and now I thought I got it, but then I was like, I get it,
you
now.
Get it now.
Like, this movie kick ass because of that. So it's all about who you see it with, I think.
Well, since we got the program opened, you know, I have not even looked at the program yet. Do you have some other, you know, are the things that you're targeting? I mean, other than the opening 40th anniversary thing, I mean, which is going to be hard for us to get into, but if we all work together, we might be able to do it. You know, what else are you looking forward to?
Well, the thing with those, the three big panels on Thursday, you've got a 40th anniversary panel in the morning. Friday's The Last Jedi episode 8 preview. That'll be the huge one. And then, of course, Saturday, the Rebels panel. All three of those, you're going to have to either get up butt early or spend the night to really ensure your place in the room when that happens. But as we know, or maybe you don't know, they have at least two theaters that are showing live video simulcast at the same time. So if you don't get into the main room, you get in one of the other rooms. So if you'd rather sleep, do that. But some of us, you know, remember what happened in Anaheim when they showed the Force Awakens trailer, Chewie were home, to have been in that room with those people on stage when it happened was a different experience. So,
well, I was there, but I was watching it on one of the simulcast rooms, on one of the screens. Yeah. I don't know if I could have enjoyed it any more than that, because it's not so much about being able to, you know, smell the perfume or whatever it is that being in person is going to do, but that the environment that I was there, that was around you, and when Han comes out and says, "Chewie, we're home," and the whole place just erupts, that's the high. And you're going to get that whether you see it in person or if you're just in one of the rooms. Or in line watching it on your phone. You know, people are going to just, that's going to be great. All right, so.
Well, I'm a big Dave Filoni disciple, and from Clone Wars to Rebels, Dave's it for me. I mean, it was George, and now it's Dave. I try to get a hashtag going on Twitter that hashtag Filoni is God, a la, you know, Hendrix is God or whatever. For me, he could do no wrong. He's just the most charismatic dude in the industry. He's just, he knows more about Star Wars than any human on the planet. Yeah. I would argue that. Maybe Pablo Hidalgo. That's it. But he's doing a couple panels on Thursday. He's got a whole animated panel he's doing. And then we're doing an Ahsoka Lives meetup on Saturday.
Ooh.
After the Last Jedi panel. There's going to be a whole ton of Clone Wars diehards and Ahsoka heads and cosplayers and all that doing a meetup in the lobby. Yes, anybody can come. Right. And I guarantee you Ashley Eckstein will be there for photo op, for a group photo op, and she'll probably be there hanging out, talking to fans. And in the past, Filoni has also showed up. So who else? Who knows who else might show up? I mean, most of the cast of Rebels will be there, and they're all, like, close and tight. So it's going to be a cool hang, and that's going to be a lot of fun. So that's Saturday at 2, and that's going to be a really good time.
Anything that you got your eye on as far as buying? Any of the exclusives?
You know what? Honestly, dudes, I'm at the point now, I've been married for over 2 years, and my wife has conditioned me to take a look at the screenshot on my phone of that awesome action figure or that really cool poster that I really want, and just look at it and admire it, and then go, all right, cool. Let's go pay for a new roof, or let's get the gutters fixed. That ain't going to happen. So I mean, there's a lot of things that have come across my radar that I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool. But, you know, even all the exclusive T-shirts, I'm like, oh, I'd love that, I'd love that, I'd love that. But I've kind of resigned myself to be like, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
If I can resist.
I think that comes from within, though, and good for you.
Right.
Because, and no lie, everybody, as you were telling that story, Marky silenced a call from his wife on his cell phone.
He sure did. I think she, it's like her ears were buzzing. She's like, don't be talking about Star Wars and what you're going to buy. I have come to that point too. And I was the only thing that I really looked at as far as on the celebrations, other than all the guests. And let's just quickly go through it. Hayden Christensen's going to be there, which is a big deal. His autograph sold out faster than anybody's. Mark Hamill is, of course, he's going to be there. Billy Dee Williams, Jen Erso, I'm spacing her name.
Felicity Jones,
Felicity Jones is going to be there. Matthew Wood's going to be there. Anthony Daniels is going to be there. God, I mean, all of the cast of Rebels are going to be there. Dave Filoni's going to be
there. Riz Ahmed.
Ahmed's going to be there. Yeah. So, I mean, it's. I saw all the amazing list of special guests. I think it's just going to be fantastic. But the other thing that I looked at was all the exclusives. And, yeah, you go through this list, and it is loaded. It's 6 pages long on the Celebration site. Okay, you have to.
And that's not including all the artists that are doing, like, exclusive
right.
prints.
Right. It's some of them, but you're right, not all of them. So there's a whole bunch of stuff. Plus, there's all kinds of collectors' buttons and pins that are not listed there, too. I am participating more or less in the pin trading program. I had a lot of fun at it. A couple years ago, I'm still short. If anybody's got an extra, I need Lando Calrissian from a couple years ago and the TIE fighter pilot, and I got the whole thing. So I'm going to participate in that. And so you buy pins from either the Star Wars Celebration people, or you go to these vendors, or you buy it at the shop there, and then you trade with other people and you try to get the whole set. It's a lot of fun. It's really hard to do, but it's really fun because it makes you talk to people.
Right. Yep.
And it's a great way to break the ice with people. And here's a little tip for all of you guys that are participating in the pin trading program. There are staff members. They're usually wearing like orange shirts. They're very easy to spot, and they have lanyards on with all kinds of pins on them. Some of those pins are exclusive to staff members. You can only get them from them. But they also have a whole bunch because staff members at Celebration cannot reject a trade for a pin. So if you see them,
anything they've got, they have to trade.
They have to trade for any of your pins. They have to be
from
their
exclusive ones.
Whatever
you want. These are the pins you're looking for.
Any of the pins, they have to trade you. So, you know, they should be your first targets, you know, because the hardest
stay on target.
Stay on target. Stay on target. Exactly.
I got a million of them, guys.
keep coming.
Don't stop now.
And so as I was going through this long exclusive list, I did narrow it down. I know what I'm getting. It's modest, believe me. I am getting the Hasbro Luke Skywalker 6-inch Black Series figure with the foil trim.
Okay. Well, that's not much smaller than a Womp Rat back home.
Nope, you can shoot it.
We can all play this game, Daniel.
Impressive.
And the other thing that I was going to get is because I've been collecting these, it's the Gentle Giant. They are continuing their Ralph McQuarrie mini busts, and they finally got to the I think it's the Starkiller one that looks like George Lucas. So I've been collecting these. They always release them at Celebration or at Comic-Con. And so this is the last one, but I think, so that's it though. You know, so I got those are my two things. I'm going to make those a point to get. I should come out winners. They sell out right away. So if you have your eyes on something, my suggestion for everybody out there is keep it to a couple of things and, you know,
also
focus on that.
Go as soon as possible.
Go in the morning. Beeline to it. Yeah. Like just go right to it.
Because day two, a lot of that stuff, gone.
Yeah. Most of the guys are pretty good about allotting some for every single day. So if you miss out on Thursday, go back Friday. Get up earlier this time, you know. So
if that's possible.
Okay, guys, before we let you go, I got to ask you, since we're all in this, what do you young kids call this? The Star Trek mood. We got
you're really pissing me off with this.
I know. It's great.
I'm always in the Star Trek mood.
We are Star Warriors.
Ooh. I don't think I've ever heard that.
Well, because I totally just coined it. But we should be called something. All right.
You should be called something, and I'll get to that behind your back. Point being, while we're talking about Star Wars, Disney, Anaheim, Orlando, all this, it turns out there are even more Star Wars shows out there on the Disney XD channel, we just learned, like the Lego Star Wars. Is your fandom so deep that you watch those?
Oh, yeah. Ryan loves the Freemaker Adventures.
I watched the first season of the Freemaker Adventures, and it was enjoyable for what it was. Like, I'm not tuning in to get epic writing and, like, so deep story. And it's sort of like hey, I have the Disney XD app on my Apple TV. There's nothing on TV. There's a whole season I can just sit here and watch. And believe it or not, I actually found myself enjoying it. I mean, it was, like I said, it wasn't episode 7, and it won't be as good as episode 8, but it was a nice sort of, like, the animations, the way they do it's really cool. So I can appreciate people that do good work, and that was good work. So.
Well, I think.
And it's funny. It's really funny.
Yeah. Well, I think he is going to love our next guest, because we actually talked about that and about
you
how.
You got a Lego?
No. Well, we have.
We're still waiting for a callback from Lego.
We have the composer of the Lego Star Wars Freemaker series, which is the one that yep. Ryan likes. Mm-hmm. We actually had a chance to
a lot of people like it, apparently.
A lot of people do, and this is a popular thing.
When I heard Lego Star Wars, I assumed he wrote music for the video game.
No, it was the show.
And I had no idea there was a show. This is just what blew my mind, that Disney is actually they themselves are making non-canon Star Wars.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know, not to be too in deep on Lego Star Wars, but they actually have a member of the story group, Leland Chi, Lucasfilm Story Group, who works on the show with them. So it's not canon, but he's there, so they don't contradict stuff so bad that it's like there's not Spock doesn't come walking in the background. You know, it's like he's actually working with the crew, and so that way they can be like, this isn't technically canon, but the member of the story group who makes decisions on like episode 8 is also working on Lego Star Wars. So they're actually taking it quite seriously without it like sort of being canon to the rest of Star Wars. So
Disney, the big white glove in entertainment.
That's right.
Don't cross them.
That's right.
Well, see, that's awesome, because we did, as I said, we just talked to a composer from Michael Kramer, mm-hmm. who wrote the theme. He's been working with the Lego people a lot. Now he gets to work with the Lego people and the Star Wars people.
Yeah.
And someday he'll get to work with the Star Trek people. But I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him yet. Anyway, you know what, Magic Interview Machine, why don't you give us this little chat that we had with Michael Kramer?
Meanwhile.
Well, I'm glad we're getting right into it. Michael Kramer, who works a little bit, I guess, with AV equipment, composer for Lego Star Wars, you know, is actually a point of contention. We can't figure out which series you are writing music for. Are they games? Are they series? Where are they? What's happening?
Yeah, so I write music for a TV show on Disney XD. It's called Lego Star Wars, The Freemaker Adventures.
Okay. That's your bread and butter position. That's your bring home the bacon job.
That's the good of it.
His silence tells me it's true. That's good. I like that. Well, we actually had a chance to sample.
This is Marquis, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Hello. This is Marquis talking. Hey, buddy. We had a chance to sample. We got sent over. It was like your greatest Star Wars hits. And so we listened to about, it probably totaled about, I don't know, 30 minutes or so of music. So you have a lot of hits, apparently.
Yeah, yeah.
And we couldn't help but notice just, now, I don't know what they, we had a voice actor on recently that he used the term aping, you know, if he was copying the performance of another actor. What do you call it in the music business? Because obviously there's a lot of John Williams that's been influencing you here.
Well, I mean, the thing is that, you know, writing Star Wars, there's, as you guys know, there's been so much of a musical universe that's been set up. And, you know, just like, you know, the costumer has to, when he makes a costume for Rogue One, it has to feel like it fits in, you know, mm-hmm. part of the old movies. The same goes for the soundtrack. It's got to feel like part of the universe. So, yeah, but I mean, the other thing to consider too is you have to also be authentic to yourself as a composer. It's kind of like, you know, splitting the difference between those two is staying authentic to your own voice, but then, you know, making sure that it sounds like a Star Wars score.
Well, have you ever like had the producers come to you and say, you know what, we need it more John Williamsy? Shut your own voice up.
Oh yeah, sure. No, I mean, you know, there's specific moments like, you know, we want it to sound like, you know, that one landing sequence in the prequels, you know, things. It can be very specific, but sounding a little bit more
right.
like John. Yeah, so I mean,
oh, it's John
the trick
now.
I noticed that too.
Johnny Williams, my good old pal Johnny. Yeah. No, I mean, you know, it's this balancing act of trying to make it sound like, you know, your own stuff, and then making it also sound like a Star Wars score. So it's a balancing act for sure.
I do remember watching the Man of Steel, you know, 5 years ago or whatever, and it was the first Superman movie that I've ever seen that didn't have John Williams music. And
yeah.
And you see him flying around and all that stuff. And I was just, I just remember thinking, man, this needs John Williams music. You know, like it just didn't feel, you know, it didn't feel right. And so I could see why it would have to be a part of what you do. But
yeah.
As experienced as I am watching these movies and these cartoons and all that stuff, there was a lot of you in there too, you know? So, I do give you a lot of credit. I could kind of tell where it was kind of new and different, but on the spirit, you know, you were definitely on point.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's often hard to tell, you know, objectively, like, where am I at? Am I striking the right balance right now? I have no idea.
Well, and there are a few bars that are straight up sampling too. I'm sure you did that on purpose, right?
Oh yeah, I mean the cool thing is that we do get to use his melodies from time to time where it's appropriate. So that's been really fun, you know, to actually use Johnny's melodies, and also, you know, combine it with the new melodies that we have for the characters in Premaker Adventures. So you know, one of my favorite things was episode 2 of season 1. We got to combine like the Force theme with Rowan's theme, and they kind of like did this little play with each other or layered on top. So that kind of stuff is really fun.
That one's on the greatest hits. I know exactly that like moment where you hear the little, you know, that little Force chime, and then I was going to ask
when you say you get to use his melodies, does that mean you just pull out an MP3, or is it like you get the orchestra together and say, all right, this is how we are going to change the master's work to fit this?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, you know, sometimes it's very much like, okay, let's look at the music, let's copy the orchestration, this is what it needs to be. Like, I think, you know, when we were doing some of the Rebels music, that was very close to what he did, and changed it in a few areas to kind of arrange it for the scene. But it was, you know, it was just very close to what he did. And then there's other times where, you know, we want to make it fresh, something different. But I think what always, in my mind, what always makes a good cover song, you know, relating to like in pop music terms, what makes a good cover song is that it's not just a straight up copy. It brings something unique to the mix. So, yeah, that's what we try to do, is we try to be respectful of it, but also make it fresh.
Well, and I don't think that you're I think that you're following in like these like footsteps that are because I believe that when George Lucas wrote the original script, he actually had a lot of classical theme, and like he was actually listening to that type of music when he was writing. And I guess from like one of the first cuts of the film before John Williams kind of laid his track in, he put it to like these classical, you know, tunes that we all know, you know, the stuff that we hear in every single elevator. So, you know, it was always kind of meant to kind of, you know, bridge off of somebody else. It was always kind of there.
It sounds some familiarity.
Correct.
It makes it easier to listen to some. All right.
Is that your understanding?
Absolutely. Yeah.
No,
that's interesting. I've actually never heard that before. Mm-hmm. That he tempted in with classical music before John got there. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, this is just carrying. John was inspired by, you know, a bunch of romantic British composers. You know, I'm inspired by his work and, you know, those original composers as well. So it's just trying to, you know, use this idea of, you know, the grand space opera, and use it to its maximum effect in this kind of storytelling.
Well, that's great. And you know what? If you're work has to be beholden to someone else's original score. You could do much worse. And that's, and,
yeah.
that's, and there's not a small amount of pressure on this either. You are, you know, you have a major role in a very major franchise, but that's not the least of it. That's not your only one, because there's another word that goes in your resume that is almost as big pop culture wise, and that's Legos. Uh-huh. You've been working with the Lego people for quite a while. Ninja Go, I assume, is not based on any John Williams melody.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
No. Yeah. I mean, it's been really a wild ride working with the folks at Lego. You know, I've been working on Ninjago for, I don't know, six, almost 7 years now. So yeah, I really put my teeth on these plastic bricks. you know what? One thing that I really love about working with Lego and their sensibilities is that it's just so playful. You know, they're not afraid to be irreverent and play with the material. And that's for Star Wars, that's really fun. You know, it's fun to kind of poke holes in, you know, the franchise a little bit, and not necessarily make fun of it, but play with it in really fun ways.
I'm so glad you said that, because I'm tired of all the damn canon all the time. Like, why can't we just have fun?
Yeah.
You know, why can't we be goofy? You know, like, and I'm a big Star Wars fan, but we take ourselves way too seriously sometimes.
You know, and I get it. You know, I totally understand when people are like, wait, is it canon? Oh, it's not canon? Oh,
no, it's not. No. Legos as Star Wars, when their heads are popping off and they're being replaced by lampshades, no, it's not canon.
It's definitely not canon.
Yeah.
No. But because it's not canon, you know, there's a lot of freedom there to play with these themes and these characters in a way that you can't when it is canon. So that's really fun.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, when you're a kid and you have all the toys, and in this case you have all the Legos, and you build something and you're playing with something, your imagination takes it to places. You know, it's fun, and that's what watching these movies is about. You're really just kind of, in a way, the playing's being done for you, and you just kind of get to watch and just enjoy this stuff. It's goofy and silly.
Suddenly I feel lazy now. Though.
We are lazy.
I think I felt better about the whole concept before you started talking.
I'm sorry.
I know where your heart is, but
I like how lazy this entertainment can be. Yes. Well, we have Michael here. I mean, he's, you know, your music is no small part of it, because it takes the music to actually feel like Star Wars.
Yeah. You know, and Legos without music is just parents cursing.
Yeah, you're right. And those are expensive toys. Yeah.
Very true. Very expensive plastic bricks. No, I mean, yeah, the music, you know, it does play a huge part in the show, and that's really exciting. But it was also very scary at first, you know, just because it's such a beloved franchise, and you know, you just want to do right by what's come before musically. Even, you know, it is plastic bricks, and you know, their hair falls off from time to time, but
yeah, there's a lot, you know, of like, I mean, wigs and hats being transferred. Yeah. If I remember the movies well.
Yeah. Still, you're surprising amounts.
Yeah,
your job, I would say, is even though it has the kind of the built-in constraint, like this has to conform to a musical universe that was created before you. You still have input. You still get to play around in there. You can still do kind of what you want. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
Not like I work with you. I don't know how hard the studio is.
No. Absolutely. You know, the whole team that I work with, the producers, the writers, the directors, everybody involved, they've been really supportive. Of you know, I'll you know, make a suggestion that's a little bit unorthodox, and they'll kind of like tilt their head and be like, really? Well, okay. We trust you. And you know, they do. So it's been fun to kind of branch out a bit and, you know, expand the Star Wars musical universe a bit. And they've been incredibly supportive as I've done that.
All right. Well, as we know, we have a few minutes left with you. There's a big Star Wars party going on, Orlando. I hear you're going. Did I hear correctly?
Yeah, it's my first one. I'm really pumped.
Hey, your
All
first
right.
celebration.
Out of
Congratulations.
Yeah. I've been to this will be my third. And I'm super excited about it.
Do you have any really important advice for me as I'm going in?
Wear nice shoes, like good shoes.
They
don't have to look good, but wear some good walk-in shoes. And
have one bottle of water, one bottle of vodka, and label them correctly.
that's a really good tip.
Very important.
Yep.
Don't
yep.
mix them up.
And be prepared for your best moments to be in line waiting to see something else. I mean, that's when all the, do the prequels suck conversations come up? How much, that's where you get into what does the Force mean? Who is Rey's father? Like, you're going to get all that stuff. It's waiting in line, and hopefully you got something to say and to contribute, So I don't know. Make yourself a schedule, but don't plan on sticking to it too much.
Yeah. That's good con advice all around.
Yeah. And have fun, now I should ask you, are you going there with any, are you a part of any of the panels? I'm sure you're going to be there in some capacity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, on Sunday, I think that's the 16th, Bill Motz and Bob Roth, who are the creators of the show, I'm going to be on the panel with them at, I think it's 11 a.m., and we're going to share a little bit of the behind-the-scenes of creating the show, which will be really, really fun.
That'd be great.
I think they're going to show some artwork and play a little new music from season two. It's going to be great.
That's going to be great. Yeah, all right.
Okay, so there you go, everybody. If you make it out to Celebration this year, like some people here in the studio are going to do, congratulations, Marky.
That's right.
But not all of us. I'm so sorry for myself. you can go catch this panel among so many others. Mm-hmm. And now I know that we called you late and you only have so much time, but there's a quick game we like to play here on the show, if you don't mind.
Oh, okay.
With every composer we talk to.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I like this game. I totally remember this.
Here we go. We've got a number of answers. I want your original take. This is basically, this is an elevator pitch game. I'm a big producer for a new Saturday morning cartoon, and you have got to give me your best take on how you would frame the theme. Now, here are the facts.
The parameters.
Yeah. If I recall, I should have written this down 2 years
ago.
This
is the pitch.
But this is, I recall, this is what the show is. It's a Saturday morning cartoon about dogs on Mars who are sheriffs in an old West town. What's your idea for a theme?
Dogs on Mars who are sheriffs in old West town. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, Mr. Director. So I want to do space music, but in a Western genre, and I want to go sample dog barks, and I want to create like space sounds out of dog barks, but really like Western sounding space barks. You're going to love it.
Western sounding space barks.
We did have
more than one floor if you wanted to expand, but still, no one has
it's
said
gonna
exactly that.
It's going to be spacey and echoey. You're going to lose it.
Oh, my gosh. I really want to hear this. This sounds awesome.
All right. Well, the next time I talk to you, I expect you'll have a loop ready for us.
That's right. Yeah,
done.
Try it. Yeah.
Okay, pretty good. Although this continues the streak, I think you are probably the sixth composer we've talked to over the years, and no one has actually said laser blast.
No one said
the
laser blast.
The one sound that I want as the producer. We've had a lot of responses. I guess
you can make barking.
What was it? Echoey space Western barks. It was pretty good.
Yes.
I like it.
I don't know if I've got a clear picture of what
hired?
That would be, but
you got the job. I like it.
Did I get the job?
I can kind of picture, because like that old, the old Clint Eastwood one, the what if it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you replace that with space barks.
Yes, he got the job.
I don't necessarily hear outer space, though.
Well, he has to synthesize it, and then it's done.
Exactly. Reverb.
Okay, we have one more talk today with Ennio Morricone. After that, I'm pretty sure we'll call you back.
Okay.
Hey, man, have fun in Orlando. It's going to be a celebration to end all celebrations. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right. Great. Thanks a lot, Mike. Really appreciate it. Bye, man.
This summer, you'll fall to pieces. A new story.
I want it. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
New hero. And a new Kyber Saber.
I'd like to hold it. When can I hold it?
Lego Star Wars, The Freemaker Adventures premieres Monday, June 20th at 10 on Disney XD.
All right, everybody. There we go. That was Michael Kramer once again. Boy, everybody in the world is willing to talk Star Wars.
That never ends. If Star Wars, I remember when Star Wars was at San Diego Comic-Con, this is like in 2009 or whatever, Steve Sansweet came. This is after Episode 3 came out, and they were the actual theme, and they made shirts. It said, Star Wars is forever, basically telling you that we're not going to take 20 years again to come out with something, you know? Star Wars is forever.
Right.
I believe it now more than ever.
Well, oh, yeah.
Yes.
And Star Trek. Yeah.
Yes.
You might as well.
Yes. Star Trek overarchingly forever.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That's it then. I feel like we have prepped everybody. We've gotten them in the right headspace for Star Wars Celebration, which, once again, let's go ahead and recap. The best thing about Star Wars Celebration is, how to put it, all right, let's say you put up any kind of video on YouTube that has something to do with Star Wars, and you just put it out in the wild, you are going to get like a 10-to-1 ratio of people calling you Hitler or spamming you versus people who are like, that's awesome, I love seeing it, even if you're not even licensed, et cetera. You go do that same kind of behavior just with the celebration crowd, flip those stats.
Yep.
Yep.
You are only going to get one Hitler for every 10 people who go, like, fucking awesome.
Yeah. There are no Hitlers at Celebration. We don't put up with that.
I love it.
I want to encourage everybody to add to your Easter egg hunts. And I am willing. I have a few Force Awakens iTunes download codes. So if you guys are hearing me, and if you're at Celebration, you tweet me, I'll meet you, and I'll hand you these codes, okay? If you don't have Force Awakens yet for some stupid reason, I got some codes for you, okay? So we're looking for a picture of you with Darth Taxis. He has no idea he's participating in this, by the way. Or Stormtrooper Elvis, and I'll have a couple of Force Awakens codes. Okay? Everybody good?
Yes.
All right. That was pretty self-serving. Thank you, Marquis.
Right. I'm totally selfish.
All right, let's do this in order. Daniel, you got anything you want to add or anything you want to plug?
Ahsoka lives. That's all I got for you.
That a
boy. Nice. Ryan?
Thank you guys for having us on. You guys are awesome.
Oh, no, thank you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're the one helping us out.
Yeah.
I mean, if you haven't heard our show, podcast66.com/episodes, there you go, all 101 of them. Episode 101 actually went live while we were talking, so 101 episodes, backlogged. Can't say that they're all good. Most of them probably actually kind of suck, but give us a chance, and you may like it. Also, looking forward to seeing you guys. Thanks for having us on your show. And, you know, I think some people that I've talked to that have been to Celebration tell me the best parts of Celebrations are the ones you didn't plan for. So I'm excited to see what's going to happen.
We can't cannot end this on a better note.
And peace, Daniel, that's how you do a plug. Congratulations on 101 episodes, guys. Damn.
Absolutely. 101.
Thanks, buddy.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right. See you Orlando way.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Oh, this is enough of this.